Amen. The best. It didn't say nothing about the bad or the worst. Amen. It said the best. Amen. So love, y'all know we've been talking about love for about three Sundays or so. And here's that book that I first talked about. It said Love Never Fails. We got I don't know how many we got in, but we got quite a few in. I just wanted to let y'all know they'll be in the bookstore. I think they're $5. So if anybody's wanting any, Miss Nancy or whoever's in the bookstore will have them and help you out. Amen. Amen. Good. Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Moving along. Well, we asked Miss Stephanie to give the word tonight. That way my phone didn't ring again while I was trying to preach or something. Amen. So if y'all would help me welcome Miss Stephanie.
Of the Lord, and we get to worship you in freedom. We get to worship you in spirit and in truth. We get to be around your manifestation of blessings, Father, and we give you all of the praise and all the glory because you are the one who does this. You are the one who works the miraculous. You are the one who provides redemption. You are the one who provides healing and just blessing upon blessings for our lives. So we give you, Father God, all of the praise and all of the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, Pastors Ricky and Chelsea, of course, we bestow all honor. Amen. Goes to the pastors of the house, of course. They carry the word for the house. They deliver the word for the house. And I have learned a few things. Clinton had texted me and asked me what I was ministering on, and I had said, well, at the moment, healing. Because I have learned I am a steward of the call of God, that I do not own it. And I have to learn to steward it. And just do when he says, where he says, and what he says. And so if he decides to change the message, then we're changing the message, right? So, but praise God. I was faithful and obedient when he told me to study on healing and prayerful, and I did those things. And so out of people who come up here and become willing and obedient in the things that the Lord asks them, the congregation gets to be blessed. Amen. Because that's what we do. We prepare the message for the people, okay? So the Lord reminded me before when we were coming up. I was praying before we were coming up. And I was very honored to be asked to minister. So I thank you so much, you guys. It's an honor to be here and honor to be asked to bring the word. It's a huge honor and a blessing. And I just wanted to say that the power of God to heal is present. It's always present. And so I'm ministering on healing at this point in time. And I wanted to give a testimony really quick, and it's regarding the pastoral office. Our grandchildren were sick last week, I think it was, could have been the week before, and they had been sick for a little while. They both were running really high fevers. And I got home from work, and my husband said, did you see the picture of Carter? And I said, no. And he goes, he looks terrible. And I said, let's go. And I just grabbed my stuff and I turned around. We walked right back out the door. And of course, I reached to the pastoral mantle. I know how to do that. They have a mantle over us. And if we get under their mantle, they cover us in things. And so I know how to reach into that. So I reach into that. And they said, well, what are they believing for? I said, I'll let you know when we get there. But on the drive there, the Lord just rose in my heart that this sickness was not unto death. Because I'll tell you what, my thought went to COVID. My thought did all those things. But the Lord said, this sickness is not unto death. And I said, well, praise God, I'm standing on that. So we get there. And we walk in and we lay hands on them. I kiss their foreheads, pray for them. And then we go to get them popsicles at Target. Now, I'm telling you, they were like on the couch, like not. They weren't doing well. They really weren't. They weren't doing well. And so we go to Target and we got popsicles and we came back. And they're running around the house and chasing each other. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The power of God is present to heal. The power of God is present to heal because it's within the Holy Spirit that that power rests. And Jesus, if you let me say it like this, Jesus, when he spit on the ground to heal the man's blind eye or the ears and the tongue, the spit of Jesus was not anointed. It was the obedience and the faithfulness of Jesus when the Holy Spirit said spit on the ground, that he spit on the ground. That's when the miraculous, the Holy Spirit was able to manifest because of his obedience. Jesus walked as a man, anointed by God, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit manifest the miraculous and the healing in our lives. So it's not me, it's not the pastors, it's not anybody who's up here, but it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who does the work. Jesus always says, my Father and I, we're always working. They're always manifesting. They're always working through somebody who's being obedient. Somebody who's being obedient. So the pastoral office, there are shepherds. And they really have the word for the church. So they're preaching on healing, and then what happened? So many people got sick. I mean, it just kind of went rampant. Now he's preaching on love. How many of you are struggling with love right now, with your love walk? I'm not kidding. Come on. Then when they preach it, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy the word that's been sown in your heart. He wants to steal it right away. Okay? So what you do, though, this is what you do, and this is what I learned. That just like a shepherd's bag, think of David, right? When he's going after the lion and he's going after the bear, he's got a shepherd's bag full of stones and he takes that slingshot and he whips it around and he throws it at them. When they speak a word, that word is your stone that you put in the bag, and when the enemy comes at you, you need to take that stone out and you need to start flinging it in the spirit, speaking the rhema word of God, so it hits the target, it hits the giant, it hits the whatever's coming at you, and it takes them down in the name of Jesus Christ, because it's the obedience and it's the Holy Spirit that does the miraculous. He's the power of that, and he just pops that. There's no way David had the strength and the power on his own to take that rock and fling it so it sunk into his head. David alone didn't do it. But the obedience of him stepping out and doing it, the Holy Spirit was able to manifest and bring a miraculous work. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit. So Pastor Ricky had ministered on Lazarus. And Jesus raising him up from dead. And guess why? That's why that scripture rose up in my heart. Because that was my word from my pastor. And that's why I took it and I stood on it and I said, this sickness is not unto death in the name of Jesus Christ. And therefore, that's what they do for us. So take it seriously when he's talking about love and he's showing you books and he's giving you things. Please take those seriously. I don't know how many books they got, but you all better get one. Because whatever they're preaching on, it's going to come against you. And whatever scriptures they're putting up, that one that solidifies in your heart, that's going to be yours in about 5 days. I'm telling you, it is. I'm telling you, it's the truth. Take me seriously. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, let's get in to this and let's pray. All right. Well, Father God, I thank you that Jesus healed all. I did write this down, you guys. The Lord kind of prompted me. Jesus healed all, excluding those that looked on his humanity rather than the Holy Spirit. And it is no different for us who are filled with your presence, for it is not us that does the work, but you, Father, who are in us. You do the work by your Holy Spirit. Sinners are healed, non-believers, non-covenant people, and their children were all healed. And we give you honor and thank you that your power to heal is present in this place tonight. In the name of your holy servant child, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so we are sticking with healing. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. What time do I need to... All right, whenever. 9:10... Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's read Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And this is a scripture that's been with me for quite some time. The Lord just ministers this to me quite often in my prayer time. This is like a foundational scripture for me. when it comes to ministering and healing. Luke 5, verse 17 says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem." So these guys are coming out, right? These guys are the Pharisees, and they're coming out. They're the teachers of the law, and they're coming out to listen to Jesus. Jesus was, in fact, a teacher, okay? He was a teacher. He sat in the synagogues, and he, when he was 12 years old, he was found in the temple having discussions about God and about messianic laws and things of that nature with the Pharisees and people of that era. So he was definitely a teacher. He was a rabbi. He's spoken about throughout the scripture. And so they come out to hear this teacher. And then it says, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." So the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So, as I was saying earlier, that it's the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't Jesus. I don't want to take anything away from the deity of Jesus, of course. But he was obedient as a man, anointed by God, right? So that's the clarity. That's kind of what I want to say. So the message says, part B of Luke 5:17 says, "The healing power of God was on him." Okay, so it's on him, just like it's on a man or a woman of God. It's on anybody who's full of the Holy Spirit. Anybody who's got baptized with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The power of God is on you. It is. It just is. Learning how to manifest that power is a whole other thing. But I just wanted to let you know that the Holy Spirit is the miraculous ability of God. The King James Version says, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." The Amplified says, "And the power of the Lord was present with him to heal them." The American Standard Version says, "And the power of the Lord was with him to heal them." Did they get healed? They did not. Let's continue to read. Verse 18. "Then behold, men brought on a bed, a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before Jesus. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down on his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier for you to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, rise up and walk?'" It's really easy to say, your sins are forgiven you. Versus, sometimes we look at our circumstances and we're like, how do you tell somebody to rise up and walk, right? Don't we think in our natural, right? So it is easier to look at somebody and say, your sins are forgiven you. But something about this man was that he was bound because of his sins. He felt guilty, and he had to know his sins were forgiven to be unbound. Church, your sins are forgiven you. They really are. Your sins are forgiven you. Don't let the devil bind you out of guilt and torment of thoughts. Christ has forgiven you. You are forgiven. You may be healed. You may be healed. All right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Therefore, whenever Jesus is present, the power of the Holy Spirit is present to heal. However, whenever we, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, the power to heal is present. A personal anointing, I want to talk a little bit about the personal anointing versus the corporate anointing. John 16, verse 7, the personal anointing. "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So we have a Helper. We have the personal anointing for us. We can lay hands on ourselves, and we can recover. we can speak the word and hear the word and build our faith until we're believing enough to where we can receive. That is a personal anointing. And the Holy Spirit is for all. It's beyond the salvation. It's beyond just being saved. Being saved, amen, praise the Lord, we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues gives you the ability to, what did Jesus say? The works that I do, you will do also. But greater works will you do than I do, because I go to the Father. We're supposed to do greater works. We are supposed to do greater works. It's not for anybody ministering. It's for any believer who's baptized with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You will be endued from on high with power, miraculous ability. Miraculous. So you each have miraculous. If you're baptized with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have miraculous ability residing upon you. You do. You do. So now that's the personal anointing. The personal anointing. I can go and lay hands on my husband, and my husband will be healed. I went to our grandchildren. We laid hands on them, and they were healed in the name of Jesus Christ. People have come to me, laid hands on me. Dr. Ricky Edwards. Well, that's a corporate, so let's not talk about that one. We'll talk about that one in a minute. But people have prayed for me, and I have been healed. I remember a friend of mine, we were having the picnic, the Easter resurrection picnic, and I'll just say her name, Michelle Hayes. And she had allergies. She was a new believer, and she had allergies. And so I just went over to her, and I said, well, let's just take care of that right now. She did not have allergies for like 3 years. But why? Why lose it? Why lose it? Because she just didn't stay. The reasoning started coming in. The enemy started coming in to steal the thoughts. And he does it to all of us. He did it to me too, you know. And that's what he does. So that's why we don't forsake the assembly. We come together to keep hearing the word, to get our stones, to sling out the Satan, to sling out the Satan, to sling out the devil, right? And that's what we do. And then he is a defeated foe, but we still have to do our part in the name of Jesus. You will be victorious if you're willing and obedient. You will eat the good of the land and you will be victorious. If you don't do what Jesus says, I was Pastor Ricky who talked about you. He now has an accusation to bring in front of God. That was a good word. If you didn't hear that word, go back. When did you preach that word? When was that word? Man, that was a word. That was a word for this house, for you people, for us sheep. That's who that word was for. Take it. Take it. So anybody can be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Cornelius, let's go to Cornelius' account. I love another one of my go-tos. In Acts chapter 10. And the power of the Lord is present to heal. Verse 1, and we'll read through 25. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. God hears you, you guys. He listens. He's listening. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. He was a wealthy man. He was a devout man. He had servants that waited on him continually, right? He had a soldier, somebody standing guard against, protect his things. He was a wealthy man. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Verse 9, the next day, as they were on their journey, they drew near a city. Peter was on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound on four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creepy things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." Law. We'll just throw law in there right there. And a voice spoke to him, saying, what was that you said a minute ago, Earl? Works. We don't have to be perfect. Okay, we don't have to be perfect. Here's God telling Peter, you don't have to be perfect. It's okay. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up to heaven again. I want to skip down for time's sake. Let's see. And the following day, okay, so verse 24. And the following day, they entered Caesarea, which is Peter and everybody who went with him and the men who went to go get him. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. Isn't that interesting? They listened. They listened to what he had to say. That means he was an honorable person who spoke truth. They could trust what he was saying. We have to be people without guile in our mouths. We have to be very honorable and speak well things, be kind, be honorable. So when we say that there is miraculous healings taking place at Spirit Life Church, people are going to stand up and say, really? And then they're going to come and they're going to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. They're going to receive a healing. Whatever it is that they need, God will meet their need. But if we're not speaking well in the community, if we're not walking in our love walk, doesn't mean you have to take it all. I mean, I get, we get to have boundaries. Jesus had boundaries. I get that, you know. But we want to be respectful to people. Respectful. Jesus loves everybody, even your worst enemy. Seriously, he does. Find something honorable. Years ago, I watched a show called Pollyanna. My kids hated it. I loved it because she was so honest about finding the best in every person. Even the worst of a person, she found the best within them. That's what Jesus does. And we hope he always sees the best in us, don't we? Well, that's what every one of you are thinking, and that's what all of your enemies are thinking. And, you know, that people want people to think the best of them. Everybody wants that. And everybody wants Jesus to think the best of them, too. You know, and so start thinking and believing and speaking the best of others, especially your enemies. Especially do good to them who hurt you. Pray for them who spitefully use you and come against you. I tell you, God will change your heart. He'll change their heart, or he will remove them from your life. But you have to be willing and obedient to be prayerful for them. I'll change the subject. That is not my message. Glory to God. All right. So he called his friends together, verse 25. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter, But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to another nation." So he's saying that Cornelius was not in covenant. He wasn't in right standing as far as Peter knew. "But God has shown me that I shall not call any man common or unclean." Don't call your neighbors unclean. Amen. "Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them for what reason you have sent me." So Cornelius said, "4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour," blah, 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 the story, "send there for Joppa," let's see, 34, verse 38, says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land and of the Jews and of Jerusalem, whom they killed hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in his name will receive remissions of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. The corporate anointing. If you want to hear the word that's being spoken tonight, the power of God is present to heal. The Holy Spirit can manifest a healing in you, and we don't have to do anything. That's the corporate anointing. People who don't even believe or understand anything right now can be sitting, and the people who are believing can pull that anointing, can pull the manifestation of the Spirit. And so he can move. And he can just react and respond to your very need. To your very need. That is the corporate anointing. He has free rein to move and to manifest in your heart, in your mind, in your body. That's the corporate anointing. Do not forsake the assembly. The corporate anointing is huge. Then for those who don't believe, so I want to finish this and I want to tell you about that. All who heard the word, and those, verse 45, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For listen, verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnifying God. They got saved because they believed, and then they got filled with the Holy Spirit. They started talking in tongues. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I don't have to lay hands on you. Receive it. The power of God is present to meet your need. He is present to bring a healing in your life. He's present to bring the baptism of the Holy Spirit so you can be empowered with his strength and might and ability. That is his heart for you. We are to go do greater works. It is his heart that you be filled. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. Be ye filled. That's a rhema word. Receive it like they did at Cornelius' house. Be ye filled. Amen. Speak in tongues. If you weren't filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you just got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, go ahead and speak in tongues if you'd like. Go ahead. We're good. We want to hear it. We want to see the manifestation of God. And then God gets the glory. I didn't lay hands on you and get you filled. You heard and received, and God's Holy Spirit came upon you and touched your life. That's what he does. That's what he does. The power of God is present to meet your very need. Amen. So corporate anointing. I came in and I didn't know much about God at all. I came into one of the original faith explosions, which used to be called camp meeting, in the old building. And I'm sitting in the back, probably further back where Lisa was, probably where that gentleman is right there. And I didn't talk to anybody. And all of a sudden, Reverend Ricky, Dr. Ricky Edwards, says, stop the music. There's people here who need a healing. Now, this is the corporate anointing, because I knew nothing. All I knew is that God said, you better go in that church. That's all I knew. I had a conviction in my heart. God didn't speak to me. I had that conviction. And so I went in and I sat, and sure enough, I had a bad shoulder, and through word of wisdom and word of knowledge, he calls me out. He even made a comment. I was pausing. I wasn't coming out. And he said, God said, we're waiting for you. And I even told God, I remember in my heart, I'm going, I ain't going down there. I mean, that's what I was saying, right? Right? I was. I'm like, I'm going down there. And as soon as my heart said that, you know, that inner heart, not, you could think something right, but still that inside's going, right? That's that inward man. That's the what you really think. That's telling you what you really believe. So anyway, as soon as I said that, he says, God says we're waiting for you, so we're just going to wait. And I'm like, serious. But that's because of the corporate anointing, because of the people who came, the people who prepared to bring the message, to bring the word. They were willing and obedient so I could receive from the good of the land. It's important when you're here to be willing and obedient to make sure people can receive. Amen? And so he was willing and obedient. And on, you know, I'm sure his preparation, you know, he talks about staying up hours at night and things like that, and his obedience and faithfulness. He didn't travel with your mom at that point in time, and so he was always leaving his kids. You were there probably, you know, and always leaving his family, and he was willing and obedient so I could taste and see that God was good. You all need to be willing and obedient for the people who come and sit next to you. You all need to be willing and obedient as a greeter standing at the door. Prepare. Prepare. Every part that allows somebody to come and participate with the presence of the Holy Spirit is a very valuable position to be in. First contact is huge. Huge. How you treat them, how you love them, how you look at them, how you respond to them. It's huge. It's valuable. Prepare yourselves that the people may eat of the good of the land like I got to. Everybody prepared so I could receive. I got healed. I got a miracle. He prayed for me. I went out on the floor, never even thought about. I used to change those channels. I don't believe in that. I didn't believe in it. But that's how much I got to taste. God laid me out on the floor. I mean, his hands got here and I was out, knocked out. I got up later. I had a cloth on me, which now I know is a modesty cloth, but I didn't know that that's what it was. I'm like, take this thing, right? I'm serious. But they all prepared so I could taste. And man, I was all in. I said, okay, God, you have my attention. You have my attention. So God is trying to get everybody's attention. But if we're not preparing to help him move in a service, it's hard for him to get their attention. It is. It relies on all of us. It's not just up to them. It's not. I go home and I pray for the services. That was my thing. I used to come in. I'd be home praying before Sunday services, and man, I'd be preaching in the bathroom, getting ready, and I'd come up here, and then they preach exactly what I was praying. I'm like, glory to God, right? But man, that is being in the corporate anointing. That I was invested. I was invested. I wasn't giving them a message because I was praying. God was including me in the corporate anointing. He was networking me in. You want to know what they're going to preach? Pray before you come. Telling you. Not kidding. He will show you things to come. Anyway, getting off. We're supposed to go to healing. Glory to God. The power of God is present to heal. The power of God is present to heal. Oh, look, there's the corporate anointing notes. We'll just keep moving on. Amen. Glory be to God. So I read this scripture when I was studying, and the Lord amplified it to me. So obviously we know, excuse me, I'm a chapstick addict. I do like my chapstick. So when God amplifies something, we really want to pay attention to it. He wouldn't let it go. I'm like, Lord, I'm not quite getting this. But there is a key. And that was the word. It was key. It was in the scripture, a key to receive. And he talks about the lawyers, that he took away the key, that they took away the key from the people. And I'm like, what's this key? What's the key? Don't you guys want to know what the key is? I wanted to know. I'm like, the key? There's a key? Let's look at the key. I mean, it just fascinated me. And so in Luke 11, let's turn over there. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke 11. Thank you, Jesus. How about if I just stop when the anointing lifts? Is that all right? Just keep going until I know it, because it's still here. I'm in it. I mean, I'm in it. So it's still here, guys. Luke 11, verse 37. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So Jesus went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that Jesus had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones. Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you." That word alms, real quick, was actually compassionateness. And it related to giving to the poor, but it was mainly focused on our convictions, relations towards people. And I thought, well, that's a good word. There's your love walk right there again. Amen. So that word alms was actually compassionateness towards all of yourself, also yourself, and of your goods, of all things. So when you're good towards man, God will be good towards you in a sense. But woe unto you, verse 42, "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." So we're looking at tithing, offering, justice, which is judging yourself, and the love of God. Grace, mercy, right? "Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them." So basically, they had nothing, no living water on the inside, and the people were looking, and they thought they had it, but they didn't. God bless you. But they didn't have it. But they thought they did. But they were looking for it. The people were looking for it, thinking, okay, you say you're of God, and okay, we're going to do what you say. But they had no life. They didn't give people life. You know? Thank God we have Jesus. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, "Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us." And he said, "Well, woe to you also, lawyers." So now he's telling them, oh, you're worried about what I'm saying to them and you're feeling bad? Well, woe to you too. Woe to you too. "For you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build tombs, the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your father, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundations of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge." Isn't that interesting? They took away a key thing. So what did they do? What did they do? They put heavy burdens on the people. They tore apart the word of God and said, "You can't have that." Don't we do that sometimes? When we see somebody coming down for healing that we think they need to be healed for, and they walk away and we think, oh, see, they didn't get healed. And now we think God doesn't heal. Or we think, well, if he didn't heal them, then he's not going to heal me. And that it's not true. Don't take away the key of knowledge. Don't let the enemy take away the key of knowledge. The key of knowledge says you are healed. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. The power of God is present to heal. Don't take away the key of knowledge. Just because you don't see something happening doesn't mean it's not happening. We were in St. Lucia, and we were driving back from a meeting, and the Virita? Oh my goodness, Vern, she took us down there, and she was driving us back, and the meeting came into healing, and and all sorts of different things. And she says, I don't understand. God doesn't heal everybody. I said, yes, he does. Yes, he does. God heals. And she says, but I knew a man. He was so righteous. He was so this. He was so that. And he got sick. And we all prayed for him. And yet he still died. The key of knowledge, she lost it right there. She lost it. She reasoned with herself. She put a burden or a, not a burden, but an assumption on the man. She assumed something, thought he was more righteous than she. And if he didn't get healed, then she'll never be healed. The key of knowledge gone. The key of knowledge says, by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. You are healed. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to heal all who are oppressed of the enemy, for God was with him. Don't lose the key of knowledge. He's here to heal you tonight. He's here to fill you with his presence. Don't lose the key of knowledge. Don't compare things. Don't worry about it. We don't know what was in that man's heart. We don't know what he didn't truly repent of. We don't know. We just don't know. Maybe he wanted to die. We don't know. Don't judge. Judge yourself. Judge yourself. Believe the best of everybody. Judge yourself. Make sure you're right. Make sure you're willing and obedient so that you may eat the good of the land of healing. The power of God is present to heal. What do you need tonight? What do you need tonight? I want to go to the women with the issue of blood. We're skipping a lot. That's okay. Glory be to God. Like I'm relying too much on my notes. Mark, let's go to Mark's version. Mark chapter 5. The power of God is present to heal, corporately and individually. Verses 25. Whoops. Uh-oh. I think I wrote down the wrong one. Question about fasting. Forgiveness of the paralytic. Jesus heals. If anybody sees it, let me know. We'll go right there. The woman with the issue of blood. Oh, 25? Mark 5:25. Oh, I'm in Luke. Sorry. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Power of God is always present to heal. The power of God is always present to heal. Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she spent all that she had and was none the better but grew worse. First off, she's a woman. She had a blood disorder. I don't care what it specifies in the word. It's a blood disorder. It doesn't matter. God deals with blood disorders no matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is, right? The power of God is present to heal. If you have a blood disorder, claim the Rhema word of God that is spoken out right now that says your blood disorder is healed in Jesus' name. Because there's a manifestation of the corporate anointing. The Holy Spirit can manifest at any time you believe. Any time you're ready to receive, he will manifest himself to you. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. What is your if only? Get serious about your healing. Get serious. What is your if only? What does it take to be healed? What does that inside of you say? Not the logical man. Yes, I have to believe the Rhema word of God, because we know that the one gentleman said, Lord, just speak your word and my servant will be healed. It's possible. Absolutely. But is that your what if? Or your if only? Is that your if only? If it is, then I spoke the word, be healed. You're healed in Jesus' name. What is your if only? Do you need hands laid on you? Do you need hands laid on you? If that's your if only, you come to the altar and get hands laid on you. If that's your if only. What is your if only? Because God came to heal. He came to heal you. He needs us well. He needs us doing greater works. And if you can't believe for yourself, how can you believe for somebody else? What is your if only? Willing and obedient. Eat the good of the land. Eat the good of the land. There were multiple healings. I'm going to skim over and just talk to you about them. In John 9, 1 through 9, the sickness is not your lot in life. Jesus passed by and he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered and said, neither man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as Jesus is in the world, healing manifests in the name of Jesus Christ. It was not his lot in life. Of course, the man was healed. There are multiple. There are hands, withered hands grew out. I'm trying to close up a little bit, but I can't seem to tie it together. Glory to God. Withered hands, body parts that are weak, that need strength, that need renewing, need regenerating. The power of God is present to heal. The power of God is present to heal. New knees. The lame man with the weak ankles jumped up, ran, and walked. He received strength. Receive strength in your ankles and your knees in the name of Jesus Christ. The presence of God, the power of God is present to heal. What is your if only? What is your if only? What is it? I see some of you processing. What is my if only? What is my if only? If only I can do this, then. Blind Bartimaeus. Jesus ignored him. He was poverty stricken. He was a beggar. He was nothing. And so Jesus, don't we have poor people who mock us sometimes when we walk by? Hey, yo, give me something, because they're drunk, right? So Jesus just kept walking. But blind Bartimaeus continued to say, Son of David. He wasn't mocking at that point in time. And then he's like, okay, bring him here, because I'm not going back there. If he really wants something, he's going to come to me. Come to Jesus. What do you need? What do you need? He is here to heal. The power of God is present to heal. To heal. He healed children. He healed children on their parents' behalf. Their parents interceded for the children. The woman with the daughter who was possessed. And he says, ma'am, I've only came for the children, and my bread is for them. And she says, yes, but Lord, even dogs eat from the crumbs from the table. And her daughter was healed. Jairus was the daughter. And then there was another centurion who prayed for his servant. He went to Jesus on behalf of his servant. You can intercede for people because of the personal anointing on your life. You can do this. Well, they might not get healed. Just pray for them. Let the Holy Spirit manifest himself. It's his job. It's not my job. It's up to the Holy Spirit to manifest himself to you, to show himself strong, and to bring about his work that he wants done in your life. Don't judge a person when they come to get healed. They might have a torment of heart, and they need that healed first. Because what good is it if your heart can't sustain the healing that manifested? God knows what he's doing. Let him worry about who's on the altar. Don't you worry about it. You just believe the best for them. And you believe that God is touching their lives in the way that they need to be touched. And believe that for your brothers and sisters and for the strangers who come in. Amen? Amen. Did you guys receive anything tonight? Yeah? Amen. I really expect to hear some healings that manifest. I really, really, really do. Because I really believe that that was the will of God tonight. I truly believe that He just wanted to go through and touch people. Amen. And the corporate anointing. Don't forsake the assembly because of the corporate anointing. We need it. We need it. Amen. Thank you, God. Do you want to... anything close in prayer? Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much, you guys.
Glory to God. I really believe that we need to have a healing line.
Amen.
We need to,
God.
We need to act on this word that is given. And also, if you are not filled...